Friends, I'm sorry to have to tell you that Mr. Cornford is unable to be with us through illness today, but Mr. Henry Mercer is hoping to preach this evening. May we commence with hymn 277. Now I see whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you.
The Epistle to the Philippians, chapters 3 and 4. Philippians 3 and 4. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help John in prayer.
O most kind and gracious Lord God, we come before thee now, desiring that spirit of real prayer. Lord, we have been favoured to see the commencement of another Lord's Day, a beautiful morning. Lord, we would come with a hymn writer. Lord, afford a spring to me. Let me feel like what I see. Lord, we feel the warmth of the sun. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt grant this day. Oh, that we may feel the warmth within. Lord, that thy presence may be known in this place. Oh, do come amongst us this day. Lord, do grant us that real worship. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord, we are met in those circumstances which we did not expect. Thou hast laid thy afflicting hand upon thy servant, we expected. And Lord, we do pray for him. Lord, that thou wilt be with him this day. Oh, do grant those restoring mercies. And Lord, if his able to get to my house as a hero. Oh, do be with him. The Lord do grant him that meditation, that he may have a good day. The Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us this day. And Lord, in the reading this morning, help our dear brother in that which he will read. And Lord, may it prove to be thy appointment. Oh, that sermon to be read this day. Lord, do grant him all needed help. And Lord, we pray that it may be, sanctified. And Lord, Deacon too, unable to get home. Lord, we expected him back, but oh, thy hand has been mine. Lord, as thou hast brought me, the air transport to the ground. And Lord, oh, we are reminded, oh, that thou art in control of all these things. And Lord, we do pray that thou be with him where he is this day. And Lord, that there may indeed be, oh, a purpose in it for him. Lord, that where he is found, oh, he may be truly blessed. Lord, that it may be a day, oh, when thou wilt visit him. Lord, do favour him, oh, in that church in which he gathers. And Lord, oh, do bless thy word there. Oh, and if it can please thee, Lord, that he may be able to return home in the coming days. Oh, Lord, we would recognise, oh, that thou art in control of all these things. Oh, and that the volcano is at thy control. Lord, as there are many stranded in different countries round the world, unable to travel to where they were. Lord, oh, that may, oh, many may say, oh, that this is the hand of God. Lord, that, oh, even through this, many can come to acknowledge that there is a God in heaven. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with us now. Oh, and do help us this day. We pray for thy servant who we hope to have with us this evening. Oh, do help him at Sudbury this day. And do strengthen him and bring him up to us for the evening hour. And Lord, may it prove to be thy appointment that he should be here this day. Oh, do give him that word to bring before us. May he be thy messenger with thy message. Oh, and grant us that hearts to receive thy word. Lord, we do pray for each of our dear friends here, oh, the congregation. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one. And Lord, any who may have come in with a special need this day, oh, desiring us, oh, an answer, a guidance, Lord, do come. Oh, do grant them, oh, their request, if it can be thy will. We do pray for the children. Lord, do help them. Be with them as they go back to school in the coming day. And Lord, do go before them. Oh, in this important term, and, oh, many exams and Lord, much of their future, oh, depending on these exams. Oh, we pray that they'll go before them. Do help them through. And do guide them in all their future steps. Lord, do be with those, oh, in the eventide of life. Oh, we pray that they'll be with them. Lord, as old age, oh, the weaknesses increase. Oh, do be with them. Do come. Lord, do grant them. Oh, that hope beyond the grave. Lord, do help them, we pray. Lord, be with each one. We do pray that thou'lt grant that help in the Sunday school this afternoon. Lord, help those who teach. May there be something done this day. Lord, oh, do work amongst us. Oh, we pray that thou wilt pour out thy blessing, oh, upon us as a people. Lord, do grant us, oh, that some may be able to come and tell what thou hast done for them. Oh, Lord, do be with us. Oh, thy servants up and down the land this day. Lord, do grant that help. Oh, may it be a Sabbath when thou wilt work amongst the churches. Oh, do be with thy people as they gather. Lord, oh, do bless the word amongst them. Oh, we would pray for our country. Lord, thou knowest that. Oh, how there is much talk at this time. Oh, of the different parties of what they will do if they win the election. Oh, but Lord, we look to thee. Oh, that thou wilt intervene, that thy hand may be seen. Lord, oh, in mercy. Oh, do intervene. Do raise up one who fears thee. Lord, one who will not be afraid to speak out. Oh, and do grant, Lord, oh, that there may be a turning. Oh, in all these things, Lord, that there may be a turning again to them. Oh, we would fall before them. Oh, in confession. Oh, there are many sins. Oh, as a nation. Oh, personally. Lord, we're each part of the nation. Oh, we would fall before thee, confessing our sins, desiring thy mercy. Lord, oh, do grant that thy hand may be seen, oh, and that there may be a turning again unto thee. Oh, do be with us now, then. Oh, and do grant them, oh, this service is done. Lord, thou wilt come and grant thy presence. Oh, and that it may be one of thy appointments. Oh, that it should be a reading service this morning. Oh, Lord, do help our brother now. Oh, and forgive our every sin as we ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 513. In mounts of danger and of straits, my soul for his salvation waits. Jehovah Jireh will appear and save me from my gloomy fear. 513.
Thank you.
try and read you a sermon preached by Mr. Raven. You will find the text in the Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The church at Philippi was, we understand, one of the poorest and weakest of the churches, and yet of all the churches in those days, the church at Philippi was foremost in communicating to the necessities of the Lord's servant. The apostle writes to express his gratitude in very beautiful and touching terms. There is something very sweet in the way in which he acknowledges the kindness that these people were moved to bestow upon him. And the apostle was not in any sense a begging parson. He was not all the time looking round to see if people put their hands in their pockets on his behalf. No, he says, I seek not yours, but you. But these people, out of the deep affection of their hearts for him, and for his Lord and for the gospel that he preached, communicated to his necessities, and to relieve the sufferings he endured for the gospel's sake. They sent to the uttermost of their power for his relief, and he received it as a gift of love. He says, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He looked upon this not merely as a gift to himself. He regarded not only the benefit that they conferred upon him, but he saw it to be fruit that abounded to their account. He saw in it an evidence of their love to the gospel and of their love to himself for the Lord's sake. He says, but I have all and abound. Earlier in the chapter, he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Here he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There is something very beautiful and blessed in this, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Oh, there is something very sacred and very sweet in being enabled and moved to communicate to the necessities of any of the Lord's people, and to feel this in one's own heart, to feel it as the smile of God upon one, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Oh then, who would not be given to communicating? Who would not be given to ministering to the necessities of the Lord's afflicted people? Who would not have such a smile as this? I mean those that fear the Lord and who love his name. Who would not have such a smile as this bestowed upon them? An odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There is such a thing as being enabled to do such a thing as this in singleness of heart, in the fear of God, in faith, and from principles of love, and having the smile of God distinctly felt. Very sacred and very sweet this. The apostle remembered well the poverty of these people, that it was out of their own necessity that they so communicated. Possibly they had gone short themselves, stinted themselves that they might be able to offer this kindness and love. And so, for their instruction and their comfort, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I like the words with which the verse opens, "But my God." A good part of the value of the testimonies of God's people lies in the personal nature of them. "But my God," says the apostle. It is as if he said, "The God in whom I have trusted, the God whom I by his grace have been brought to know, the God who has these many years led me and fed me and guided me and cared for me, covered me with his own almighty wings, my God shall supply all your need. My God will be your God too." That is what the apostle means here. My God will be your God. What he has done for me and in me, he will, as you need it, do for you. But my God. And how needful it is that there should be this note more or less distinct in every testimony. It is important for a minister to have this note more or less distinct in his preaching. But my God. What is the use of my preaching if I cannot, even in the feeblest, lisping way, say, "My God"? What is the use of my preaching if he is not my God? Looking at these words, I thought of one dear friend, a God-fearing man, who many years ago was working at the University Press in Oxford, and he was in deep affliction. His wife was ill with consumption, and finally she passed away. So the poor man had heavy burdens lying upon him. He was at work all day, and he had to be night nurse and general help at home. But when it was all over, an ungodly fellow workman came to him and said, "I know what brought you through." He asked him what it was. "Ah," said the man, "that religion that you've got and I have not got. That God that you know and I do not. That God that is your God and not mine. That is what brought you through." Sometimes the ungodly have to confess that the godly are in possession of something that they have not and that they are strangers to. But there is something very precious in this expression, "But my God shall supply all your need." I remember Mr. Hazelrigg in one of his sermons laying it down somewhat in this way, how needful it is for a minister sometimes to be enabled to come forth to the people from Christ's presence, from having to do with Christ, and tell the people how gracious Christ is to sinners, what kindness he shows to them, the entertainment that he gives them. "But my God," says the apostle, and these people knew what Paul's God had been to him, and what he was to him at all times. They had been witnesses of things that Paul's God had done, the trials he had brought him through, the deliverances he had wrought. "But my God shall supply all your need, both temporal needs and spiritual, all your need." The Lord does not half do things. He's not a little God. He is a great God, and he does great things for his people. And what he does perfectly. He does not leave his work unfinished. He does not carry his people thus far and then leave them to fend for themselves. "My God shall supply all your need." He is speaking to a people who put their trust in the Lord, who are taught by his grace to depend upon him, to lean their whole weight upon him, to wait upon him day by day for daily strength, guidance, wisdom and direction. They shall find him a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. He does not forsake those that seek him. There is much encouragement in the word for those who seek the Lord and who would confide in him, who would commit themselves to him for safekeeping and would commit all their necessities, temporal and spiritual, to him who is able to manage all. "My God shall supply all your need. These people had made a venture. Faith and love had constrained them, though poor, to make a great sacrifice of their own interest, their own comfort and advantage, for the sake of the apostle. After all, it is niggardly giving to give away the parings when you have got a whole cheese. I think Spurgeon said, some people would steal a goose and give away the giblets. God's people do not give like that. I heard of a lady who said she believed in giving until she felt it, and I believe it was true of the same lady that she would often forego a new dress that she might give the money that had been spent in that way to some of the Lord's poor people. Oh, it was faith and love that made these people to venture as they did upon the Lord in doing what they did. The apostle says, my God shall supply all your need. He knew they would not be the losers. The Lord would not be in their debt. Give, and it shall be given unto you, said the Lord Jesus Christ, pressed down and running over. But my God shall supply all your need. It says here, need. That does not mean the Lord is going to gratify every whim. It does not mean that the Lord is going to minister to the gratification of your lust, but he will supply all your need. These things that are needful for you, those things that are for your good, and sometimes his gifts may seem strange. The hymn writer says, all things for our good are given, comforts, crosses, staffs or rods. Well, a cross is not a pleasant thing to nature, and rods are not pleasant things, especially the rod of chastisement. But if they are needful, the Lord will bestow them. If you need a daily cross, a crook in your lot to keep you in order, to mortify your pride, and to lay you low at his feet, you shall have it. My God shall supply all your need. He has said, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Then again, if the Lord should give the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yes, there is such a thing as the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it is necessary, or he would not give it. The Lord sometimes nourishes his people in a spiritual manner by the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. His hand fashions the crook. From his hand they receive the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Hezekiah the king was not in a bad place when, sick unto death, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And afterwards he confessed, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. The Lord brings his people into strange experiences, into very crooked paths as they feel them to be, to make his goodness pass before them the more distinctly. How they prove what a God, what a faithful, wise and wonder-working God he is. But my God shall supply all your need. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There are some of God's people who have been quite stopped when they purpose moving away or even going abroad to another land by that word being applied to them. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. My God shall supply all your need. Oh, it is good to be helped to trust him. It is good to be enabled in providential matters to live a life of faith, to be looking to the hand of God continually. Huntingdon spoke of a handbasket portion being the best portion. In the part of the country where he lived, the southeastern counties, in those days a farmer might send his daughter to her new home when she was married with a lump sum as a dowry, or he might send her to her new home with a handbasket portion, which meant that frequently there would be a basket of goods going from the father's house to his daughter, and it was reckoned that the handbasket portion was by far the better. And so the Lord gives his people a handbasket portion. They find how the Lord is faithful. He spreads their table, and where they could see nothing before them but dire destitution, they see the Lord's hand providing. I know of a good woman who a few years ago, when she and her husband were in very dire straits, when the children were given a piece of bread at supper time and asked if they might have some butter on it, had to say to them, "Oh my children, I do not know if I shall have any bread even to give you tomorrow." But in answer to prayer, agonizing prayer, next day there was ample provision, so that the children had more than bread to eat. My God shall supply all your need, whatever that need may be. He will feed his people with food convenient for them. One prayed, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." And I have often called your attention to the fact that the Lord Jesus, when he gave the disciples their pattern prayer, says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Daily bread. Food sufficient to sustain life. And we do not require more, really. What the King of England eats day by day can do no more than sustain his life. The clothes that he wears can do no more for him than mine can do for me. The bed that he sleeps on is no more to him than mine is to me. He can only sleep on it as I sleep on mine. We may seek after great things, but our real wants are very few. Food convenient, raiment fit, and my God shall supply all your need. But I suspect that the pride of our hearts often moves us to seek a good deal more than this. We like to have a stock in hand to make us independent of God, at least that which furnishes us with an opportunity of thinking that we are independent of God. I was told of a woman in Scotland when I was visiting there in August who lived at Glencoe, a godly soul. In her early days she had been a very active businesswoman, and her one ambition was to lay by sufficient money to place her in peace and independence for the rest of her days. But the Lord just blew upon it all. He sent affliction, and there she lies, a poor burdened woman, dependent upon the Lord, upon what he is pleased to send her by the kindness and love of his people. And she has been taught to be reconciled to her lot, to be thankful for it, and to realize that her God does supply all her need day by day. It is a wonderful thing to be reconciled to his way of dealing, to be reconciled even to a dispensation that makes us more consciously and immediately dependent upon himself. My God shall supply all your need. After all, the most important of our needs are the needs of the never-dying soul. Many people are very much taken up with anxious thought. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? But how few people comparatively are concerned about the soul. But how few ever weigh up that tremendous question which the Lord Jesus Christ asked: "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Very few reflect upon the worth of a never-dying soul. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is to have a soul that must either be saved or lost, that must either dwell eternally with God in heaven or with devils in hell. A great thing it is to be concerned about the soul. O my soul, says the awakened sinner, my never dying soul, what will become of my soul? When this body is laid in the grave, where will my soul be? I say it is a great mercy to be brought to a real consciousness of the needs of the never dying soul. And what is one need, one great need of the soul? Why, 'tis eternal life. Let my soul live, says the psalmist. My God shall supply all your need. How is your heart on the stretch of this, that you may be blessed with that eternal life, which is the knowledge of the only true God and of Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. Jesus, thy Godhead, blood and name, oh, 'tis eternal life to know. Do you feel that this is the essential need of your soul? That ye may know God, the only true God, that ye may know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ye may have your entire being subject to the Lord. Is that your prime interest? Is that far more important in your eyes than anything else in this world? Do you ever feel that you could let everything else go? All that concerns your perishing body, you could afford to let go, if the Lord would only bless your soul with this great blessing of life, the knowledge of himself in Christ. And along with that, bound up in it, there is this, the blessing of repentance. Do you feel your need of it? It is a necessity. How the apostle insisted upon this, the importance of this repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Have you yet realized that while repentance is so important a matter, yet you are incapable of repenting? Do you try hard to do it and cannot? Of sin repent, to sin return. Do you thus painfully learn your own sinful helplessness? Very few truly repent of their sins. Repentance must be God's own gift communicated by the Spirit to the heart. My God shall supply all your need. Ye needy ones who feel your need of his grace, he will supply it, and he will have poor people bring their needs to his throne. He will have hungry people open their mouths wide, that he may fill them. He will have them come with large petitions, come with their helplessness and their poverty, their utter unworthiness to receive of him the rich blessings, the priceless gifts of his grace. To receive this repentance. Then there is another thing. I often try to set before you the necessity of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Oh, but faith is his gift. Do you feel the want of it? Do you realize the impossibility of your believing? Have you an unbelieving heart? Do you try to believe? And the more you try, the more like an infidel or an atheist you feel yourself to be, until you have been ready to lie down in despair. Oh, I cannot believe. I cannot believe. What shall I do? What hope can there be for one like me? The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I cannot do it. Faith is his gift, and he supplies the need that is felt by his people. It is a good thing to feel your need of faith. It is a good thing to be convinced by the Holy Ghost of your unbelief, to be convinced that you cannot believe, to be convinced that faith is the gift of God, the gift of Christ to his people, and to be compelled to come to him as a poor, unbelieving sinner and say, Lord, do give me faith, make me a true believer. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he gives faith, and he gives it freely. So we might go on. There is that precious gift of divine love, the forgiveness of sins. Do you feel the burden of your guilt? Do you look over the time past of your life and say, what a mad fool I have been, the devil's fool? Do you feel you have sinned against God and been a rebel all your days, so that your guilt is like the mountains for size and like the sand of the seashore for multitude? Mine iniquities have gone over my head as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Do you need forgiveness? Do you say sometimes, and canst thou, wilt thou yet forgive, and bid my crimes remove? And shall a pardoned rebel live to speak thy wondrous love? Oh, seek it of him. Go, sinner, as well as you can with all your sinfulness, and seek of him this great, this precious gift. Oh, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. He is a God pardoning iniquity, transgression and sin, and he delighteth in mercy. It is his delight to mete out his grace to poor sinners, and he will do it freely, without money and without price. My God shall supply all your need. Is it deliverance from some temptation? Is there some besetment from which you need to be delivered? Some foul assault of Satan that brings your soul into distress, and you have no skill to parry his thrusts, no power to resist him. You feel yourself a poor, helpless thing, and if deliverance do not come, you feel that the adversary will compass your destruction. One said, thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns, from a position of great peril. The Lord saw him when it seemed that he must lose his life, and the Lord delivered him. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Poor tempted soul, as well as you can, seek of him deliverance. Deliverance must come through him alone. If you are walking in this dark, painful path of temptation, you will not find many companions, and some that you hope are the Lord's people will not be able to walk with you in all the dark and crooked paths that you are being led in. Bunyan found that out when telling an ancient Christian of his temptations. All the comfort he got was that the man thought he must have committed the unpardonable sin. Ah, but Christ knows how to succour those that are tempted, because that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He has compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. And I say to such as need deliverance from temptation or strength to endure it, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, it is my God, says the apostle, will do it. My God. Paul's God was not a little God. He is a God who does great things. He gives deliverance to his people. I do not know if I mentioned the fact that during this past week I was talking to a godly friend of mine, and he was telling me of the first occasion when he felt the power of God put forth on his behalf. He had been under the pressure of some heavy temptations which distressed him sorely, and he said, I was like Samuel, I did not know the Lord. He had never heard a gospel sermon, but was wandering about from place to place, from church to chapel and chapel to church, and could hear nothing that touched his case. The strict Baptist chapel he would not enter on any account. He thought they were such a dreadful set of people. But on one occasion, he ventured to try a service there. And the Lord blessed the word and wrought deliverance in his soul. He said, I did not know the Lord did things for his people. I did not know he did anything for anybody, but he did it for me. My God shall supply all your need. Oh, the Lord does things. He does great things for his people. He supplies all their need. He leaves no real necessity unsupplied. He will do it, and it is according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is the measure of it. There you have it. The unsearchable riches of Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily to supply his people's needs. How infinitely does the fullness of grace that is in Christ Jesus outweigh all the necessities of his poor people. The necessities that are brought into by their guilt, their helplessness, their utter ruin and bankruptcy are infinitely outweighed by the unsearchable riches of Christ. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is Rutherford who exhorts poor sinners to ask great things. Do not ask, he says, as your worthiness warrants, but as it becomes his grace and his glory to give. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Amen. Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £760, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Mercer is expected to preach this evening, Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. Let us now close with 176. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name, let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. 176. Thank you. do pray that thou wilt come and flow with it now, that there might be some good thing done in thy name this day. Lord, it is all with thee. We feel our total insufficiency for these things. Our eyes are up unto thee. Thou help and strengthen us and thou go before us. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for thy servant that we expected this day. Do help and strengthen him where he is. O Lord, grant those healing mercies. Raise him up once more, if it can be thy will. And Lord, we do pray for thy servant, the expectant one. Lord, give him all needed strength through the day, and give him that message to bring to deliver this life. Our Lord, open his mouth. Give him true liberty of the spirit. And Lord, do grant that there might be those to receive. Thou alone canst do it. It is alone by the power of thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, do come then and remember us with us. Keep and preserve us through this day. O Lord, and help us tonight. O Lord, we do then desire that thou wilt forgive